What I'd like to do this evening is to kind of share a little bit about the series, that, you know, kind of some concluding remarks about the series that we've been going through. And you know, actually kind of David has already addressed some of this, kind of give an overview or a summary of what we've been studying, what the two letters were about. I want to thank David for the lesson this evening, and like Barry, I want to share our appreciation with all those who have been a part of this. Everyone's done a good job, and it's been a really good series and a series of studies. You know, these two letters from the Apostle Paul, Peter, are a very well-rounded set of instructions for all Christians. And like David mentioned in his lesson, as well as Barry in the introduction to this series, you know, these letters were written to the churches in Asia, so they were written directly to the Christians. And what was covered in this letter, and like David pointed out in his lesson, most of the epistles covered many of the same things. And in these couple of letters, Peter addressed our conduct and how we interact with one another, how we interact with those in the world, you know, those that we are servants to, you know, those that have in our society have are higher in a particular hierarchy than we are, you know, our bosses, our government officials, things of that nature. It teaches us how we are to conduct ourselves among our fellow man. And then he brings it a little closer to home and talks about how we conduct ourselves between one another in the church. And then takes it even closer to home and talks about husbands and wives and our relationships and our families. But most importantly, he addresses our relationship with God. And just like Peter in these letters, he gives the same responsibility to us, and that is to continually remind one another about the scriptural teachings and about the promises that are given to us in Scripture and the things that all the apostles taught and that Jesus taught while he was walking this earth. And as our relationship with God builds and we become obedient to his gospel, then Peter also gives us instructions on how we are to be the elect of God and what that means to us. You know, that we have to be obedient to his incorruptible, his eternal word. And that we are going to basically be suffering and in service to him, but we're doing that for his glory. And when we think about the idea of suffering, it brings our mind back to the suffering that Christ went through for every person. And everybody that's obedient to him can take advantage of that suffering and that sacrifice. You know, and then he continues on and says, you know, once you become that child of God, then you've got to continue on, continue growing, building on the things that you have and building on that faith and building and continually growing as a child of God, of his elect, standing firm for what's right and keeping a very watchful eye for that lion that's walking about seeking whom he may devour. You know, he warns us that Satan is just looking for an opportunity to get in and destroy us. And whether he does that by friends, family, or those false teachers that were talked about, he's looking for an opportunity. And so we always have to be watchful. And we always have to be watchful because of what David addressed in his lesson tonight, because the end of the world is coming. We're promised that Christ will return, and we have to be ready. You know, and a good portion of Peter's message to the church there was being cautious and watching out for those who are false teachers. And what's so ironic about this, he spent a lot of time talking about those false teachers. He mentions them in several of the chapters. And what's kind of ironic about it is there are a couple of verses in the first letter that Peter wrote. There are a couple of verses that people will stand on to preach a false doctrine. And that false doctrine is the idea of being able to still have salvation after you've already died. You know, you'll hear people talk about purgatory, a place where the souls rest, and other people can pray for them, and it may change their fate. That's very against anything that's in the Scriptures. And the two passages that I want to talk about, I just want to mention them a little bit and kind of discuss that idea. They tend to be somewhat complicated when you look at them, and it's a little bit difficult to understand. But when you look at, you know, we always talk about the harmony that's in the gospel and in the Bible, in God's Word, and that comes into play here. When you kind of understand the things he's talking about and what comes into play when these passages are mentioned. The first one is in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 19 and 20. 1 Peter 3, beginning in verse 19, it says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Now, what serves as a complication in these two verses is one, it talks about the spirits in prison, and people look at that as being disembodied spirits, you know, those that have come out of the flesh, and that's not what it's talking about. It tells what it's talking about in the very next passage. It's talking about those who lived during the time of Noah. And if you go back to Genesis chapter 6 and you read the flood story, you will see that there's a period of time there where those people in that were walking the earth at that time had already received their condemnation. God had told them he's going to destroy the world. But he didn't do it immediately. He gave them roughly 120 years while Noah was preaching to them to change their ways, to repent. And that's what this passage is talking about here. You know, the Spirit worked through Noah just like he did the apostles. Noah was inspired and he preached to the people to try to bring about repentance. And so these two passages are actually talking about that. He's not talking about Jesus or anyone else going and preaching to disembodied spirits that were somewhere held in prison or a purgatory or something of that nature. The other one that comes into to play when we talk about this idea of preaching to disembodied spirits is chapter 4 and verse 6, where it talks about, you know, the judgment of man. In chapter 4 and verse 6 it says, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And again, there's this idea of speaking to those that there was no life in them. And again, that's not what this passage is talking about. There's a couple of different ideas of what this is referring to, but you know, when you consider both ideas, the message is the same. And the outcome is the same. And so I'm just going to share one of those with you. And if you're interested in the others, you can talk to me afterwards. but it's believed that the dead that is talking about here are those that may be dead today. But they were people who had obeyed the gospel. And then they faced this judgment of men. And the judgment of men he even mentions, he gives us an example in verse 4 of that same passage, where it says, Wherein they think it strange that ye run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. You've come out of that life, the things that you may have once done, that sinful life that you once lived, you've come out of it, and those men that maybe you had run with at that time are now judging you. And so it's a good possibility you will receive persecution. In fact, you know, the Bible teaches us and assures us that we will face persecution and trials. And so when it's talking about the dead here, it's those that have obeyed the gospel and are now dead, and that could be due to persecution. But it's talking about facing that type of judgment of men. But in either camp on this particular passage, the end result is that it's so much better to face a little bit of judgment from men than to face the wrath and condemnation of God. And so, you know, you can see by the way the passage is written and kind of by the ideas that are going there how people can take this and make an assumption that it's talking about spirits, but it's only taking that one thing and not looking at the whole picture, and it's taking it out of context and not considering the whole context of these passages. And so some will take these and turn it into a false doctrine, and we see that in our world today. You know, Peter's message was, you know, as we mentioned, written to the churches in Asia at that time, but that message holds true today, just like he talks about in several of the passages throughout those two books. God's word is incorruptible and it's eternal. And Peter was an inspired writer in the Bible, and so that word is incorruptible and it's eternal. And it applies to every Christian. It's not just those Christians that lived at that time. It's us today. So again, reminding us, a reminder for all Christians of the glory that we have through Christ Jesus, and what our responsibility is as Christians and how we live our lives separate and apart from those of the world. Again, I want to express appreciation for all those who are involved in all the work that's been done to put this series together. And like Barry said, you know, at some time in the future, we'll probably have another series similar to it, or at least certain topics that we ask folks to speak on. Enjoyed the series, and I hope it was edifying and uplifting to everyone.